They were very supportive of me. That's like the first thing is, yeah, with my mom, she didn't have the support of her parents, but I felt both my mom and my dad were both very supportive. Either way, whether I was going to try and keep the baby or whether I was going to go for adoption.
Welcome to another episode of Relentlessly Resilient, where real people share real life experiences and the tools they've developed to move forward and live their best lives. We are presented by Minky Couture. I'm Jenny Taylor.
I'm Michelle Scharf. Are you looking for something beautiful and cozy to add to your home on these polar days? Minky Couture is the answer. Cozy, soft, a color for every room in your home, and always the best. Visit Minky Couture.
Okay, you got 6 locations right along the Wasatch Front and St. George, or you can just go to minkycouture.com if you don't even want to leave the house.
That's awesome. I'm so excited. We have a part 2 today of Heather Andrews and Kiara Williamson. They have overlapping stories. It's a mother and daughter, and overlapping stories about teenage pregnancy and adoption. So, Heather, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story. Where does your story cross over with your daughter's?
Yeah. I remember telling my girls when they were very young, I never wanted to be a parent that kept things from my kids. Mm-hmm. I always felt like I needed to be open and share with them. I've heard stories about when I experienced it where, you know, things were shared later on and it can often traumatize children. And so it was mm-hmm. like, it was really important to me to be honest and upfront with my kids from day one when they, obviously at the appropriate ages, when they could understand. And so I remember telling my girls about my experience and that they had a stepbrother somewhere, but that it was a closed adoption. I had no contact with him. And I didn't know anything about him. But yeah, you want to go from there?
Yeah, I definitely remember when my mom sat us down and kind of told us about our half-brother that we had. It was an age where I definitely did understand a little bit more, but it still kind of was a little bit traumatizing, not going to lie, to hear that, yeah, we had this half-brother that we didn't know about all the way up until this point. And we were LDS at that point, so we were active members of the church. And so that, too, was kind of like we're learning all these things about the church and kind of the standards and the morals that you have in the LDS church. And then kind of just hearing that, it was like, why didn't she share that before? Why did she kind of feel like she needed to keep that, like, from us? And now kind of hearing her story a little bit more, you know, after the fact and all that shame, that definitely makes a lot more sense where, you know, she just wasn't used to probably talking about it. And it was probably really hard for her to talk about it, too. So yeah, that's when I heard about it. And, yeah, grew up knowing that I had a half-brother. And that was really cool. And that was something that I'd tell, you know, my friends in school. Like, oh, yeah, I have a half-brother. And it'd just be something that I'd just randomly remember about. But,
yeah. I said stepbrother. It's half-brother. I always get those family relationship things wrong. Yeah. Like, what is this? Second cousin once removed, twice removed. What? So yeah. Anyway, so half brother.
So you knew about him, but you didn't. There was no open communication with him or the family after those early months and years, right?
No. And basically, you were aware of him. Did you feel like you really needed to tell them because he might show up in their lives? Or?
No. And in fact, like, I think there was this document that I could do. It was like a codex or something like that. It was mm-hmm. some document I remember I had to fill out that if he were 18 and wanted to get a hold of me at the time when he reached adulthood, that my contact information would be made available to him. Mm-hmm. So I remember registering for that, like, maybe right around the time that I thought he might be getting old enough to where he might start thinking about this and might want to look me up and might want to have that information on how to reach me.
But that would be on him to decide,
right?
Not you.
Okay. Right. Yep. And so I did that, but I think I really just felt like when I told my girls, I felt like they were old enough to potentially be able to understand what was, you know, and process the information. And it sounds like, yeah, it still doesn't matter. I think at any time you tell anyone anything like that, it's going to be a little traumatizing. Sure. And they're going to be like, have a lot of questions. Be like, what is going on here? Yeah. Which I think she did. They did ask a lot of questions and I tried to answer them to the best of my ability. But it is hard when you don't really know much. Like I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And I think I'd closed a lot of that part of me off because it's easier to handle emotionally when you're not. I mean, I was told, you know, you can write letters, you know, you can write journal about it. And I just didn't want to open that up again.
Yeah.
It was so painful that it was like, why? Why would I even do that? And I had done a lot of things like I had even at later on, obviously, anytime we stuff things, it's going to come out.
Right.
It's going to come out in some way. And you're going to emote on everyone. So it's like I remember like having some deep anxiety, depression issues. What is wrong with me? Like debilitating to the point where it was debilitating. And I know it was from a lot of that unhealed trauma. And so I did seek, you know, help. You know, got some counseling, therapy. I love energy work. I'm very much a
fan,
profound fan of that. That was where some of my most healing moments happened. And it's like, to me, it's like 6 months of therapy and counseling in one session, especially when they know what they're doing and really reached in and got a lot of those emotions cleared. And I let it go. And it was beautiful. I didn't know anything. And I remember Kiara would ask questions and then she was like, I think she went on her own a little investigation journey eventually.
Yes. Yeah. So fast forward. So yeah, when I got older, I actually didn't start looking for Kyler, my half brother, until after I placed my baby for adoption. It was just kind of like, I felt that it would be really good for my mom to be able to, you know, have that connection and have that meet up with him, kind of heal some of those past traumas that she had. And so I remember just stalking her Facebook account. I found the parents and then I found his account through their account. And I sent him a message on Facebook just saying like, hey, like, what's up? I'm your half sister. I didn't really know what to say. So I just kind of put it out there. And it wasn't until, I think it was a day after my birthday, that I got a response from him. And I was so excited. I was like, oh my gosh. And he was excited too. He's like, I'm so happy you reached out. Like, text me. So yeah, we started texting and he was awesome. We talked and I let my mom know, I think, that I was talking to him and asked her, I'm like, would you feel up to maybe having him over for dinner sometime or kind of having a meetup? I'm like, I know he would really love to meet you and he really wants to get in contact with you. So yeah, I gave him or her his number or whatever. And they kind of started talking. And yeah, we eventually scheduled a time where he came over with his wife. And
yeah, his new wife.
Yeah, his wife. And we got to meet our half brother and my mom got to meet her son for the first time. And it was an amazing experience. It was so cool.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was. There are no words, like, honestly, like, it just, it was magical. And yeah, we sat down around the table and I think, you know, I just was open to what questions do you have? And, you know, he was able to ask me questions about, you know, surrounding obviously the situation and, you know, why. I'm sure there's a lot of kids that are placed for adoption that they feel in a way abandoned. They don't know. They feel they struggle with understanding. And so I think that's important. It was important for him to hear my side of the story and understand where I was coming from. And but it was healing for me. I think it was healing for him. It was amazing to also hear about all the things that my kids and him have in common
without even knowing each other. Yeah.
So
some of the same sports teams and things that they're into and the sports and the just the hobbies and the activities and the things that he's good at. You know, there was a lot of cross in that. Mm-hmm. And you know, my son, I have three girls and then my youngest is a boy. And so I watched him light up because, you know, he all of a sudden now has this older, he's always wanted it, you know, like an older brother or like, you know, someone, a boy, any kind of male in his life that's not
a girl, dressing him up in dresses.
And so he was so happy.
Lots of sisters.
Yes.
He was so happy to connect with Kyler and to have that experience of meeting him and find out they had so much in common. And it was really awesome.
Well, that was so fun.
Thank you.
So, Kara, tell us your story. How did you end up on a similar path?
Yeah. So it's kind of funny because my mom, you know, having her experience, she was always kind of telling me as I was growing up, because she could see I was a lot like my mom. Like, I'm mm-hmm. definitely a mini mom, my mom. And so she could see a lot of the same things, I guess, in me that she was kind of doing, like that rebellious, mm-hmm. dry, whatever. And so she'd warn me. She'd say, hey, like, just so you know, like, she's very open up with, like, with me. Like, if you ever are interested in having sex, like, let me know. Like, we'll get you on a birth control. Like, I want you to be protected. Like, I don't want this to be something that you feel like you have to hide from me or feel like you can't, you know, open up to mm-hmm. me about. So, yeah, I'm super grateful for her for that because, yeah, once I did start getting into that, like, I started becoming interested.
You did get on birth control.
Yes, I did talk to my mom and I was like, hey, like, I want to open up to you with this because you told me to. So I want to get on birth control. And so, yeah, she actually took me in. We got my, I was on the pill. So I was taking the pill at this time. But, and I had been dating this guy for only 2 months. And we were both LDS. His family was super strong in the church. My parents had started there, you know, they were getting their divorce. It was pretty messy. And yeah, I definitely was rebelling like crazy. So yeah, I met this guy, dated him for like 2 months. And then my senior year of high school, so 2018, and it was February. We had only been dating for the 2 months. Yeah, I actually found out I was pregnant. I took the pregnancy test in a Walmart bathroom because me and him were in a fight that morning and I had been like experiencing morning sickness. So yeah, I just drove, took a pregnancy test at Walmart bathroom. My friend Angela was there. And yeah, just the feeling like that gut wrenching, like your stomach is just in knots. It's like, what am I going to do? And it's that moment of realization of being that young, you don't think anything will ever happen to you. Like, you see all these people getting pregnant and you're like, oh, that will never happen to me. Like, I'm above this or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you just don't think. And when it happens, it's very scary. And so I just remember, yeah, talking to my boyfriend at the time and letting him know that, hey, I'm pregnant. And he actually took it really well. He said that he wanted to try and keep the baby and that, you know, we want to try and work this out. And he wanted to try and get married and whatnot. And I was like, okay, awesome. And so, yeah, after talking to him, I ended up talking to my mom. She's the next person I told just because I knew she was going to know the best steps, like the next steps and whatnot. So I talked to her about it, then told my dad about it as well. But they were very supportive of me. That's like the first thing is, yeah, with my mom, she didn't have the support of her parents, but I felt both my mom and my dad were both very supportive. Either way, whether I was going to try and keep the baby or whether I was going to go for adoption. But at the beginning, me and my boyfriend were definitely wanting to keep the baby. And so he ended up getting a sales job out in Arizona and he left. And I just remember being here like alone, just being pregnant. And I was like, I don't like this. Like, so I ended up going down to Arizona too. And I ended up doing some summer sales as well. So we were both working down there trying to just make as much money as we could in the short amount of time that we had. Because when we found out we were pregnant, I remember I did not have really any money to my name. And we were living at his parents' house. So yeah, we were just trying to find anything that we could do to try and just make as much money as we could to be able to provide and support for this baby. And I just remember everything just went wrong. Like, nothing was working out. Like, the sales company we worked for ended up just not paying us for any of the sales we did while we were out there.
Oh, wow.
There is a ton of drugs going around while we were down there. Mm-hmm. Like, I did not feel safe as a pregnant woman being in that environment because there's a lot of smoking, drinking, partying when we weren't out doing sales. So I was just like, this is not an environment I want to be in anymore. I'm like, I want to get back home so I can be closer to my family because it was kind of hard being out there with not a lot of support, with just like my friends, and they were all, you know, being crazy. And so we ended up coming back to Utah and he got a job as a cook in a barbecue restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I got a job as a waitress at a Chinese restaurant. It was like right next door to each other. So yeah, we worked there for months, just again, trying to make money. I ended up going from the waitressing job at the Chinese restaurant and went to waitress at the barbecue place he was at. Mm-hmm. So we can kind of work together. And yeah, even that, like the manager, our grill or our oven in the back ended up catching on fire and pretty much exploding the back half of the store. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, like, so I wasn't getting very much tips because, like, not a lot of people were coming because we were out of a lot of the foods that we usually had at a barbecue place. And then she ended up actually closing down that barbecue restaurant because just they couldn't
survive
without that oven. So when we went from like trying everything and then just nothing was working out, and we actually ended up being in a worse position after all that work and stuff, you know, than having any. So we were about, I think I was 6 or 7 months pregnant when I was finally like, okay, we need to start looking at other options, because at this point, if we're going to keep this baby, we're going to be, you know, living at our parents' house. Like, they're going to have to support us. Like, we're both going to have to work. Like, the baby's going to have to stay with your mom or something while we're working. But it wasn't going to be an ideal situation. It is, even if we stayed together, which at this point I wasn't sure, you know. I was still young. I didn't know if this was the man that I really wanted to marry. It was more of, at that point, I felt like I had to. But yeah. When we started looking at families, we started out looking at the LDS Family Services because that's what my mom used and that's what she kind of told me to use. And so, yeah, we sat down, we were just going through all these profiles, and I just remember at that time we were looking like for the wrong reasons, like for a couple for the wrong reasons. Meaning, I really was wanting someone who had the same skills and the same passions and things that I did. So I was in hair school at the time and loved doing hair. So I was looking for someone who also did hair and who loved doing like makeup and stuff like that. And then my boyfriend wanted a dad who liked the Polynesian culture and who played rugby because he liked to play rugby. So I don't know how we found a family or a couple that actually matched up perfectly. The mom had a at-home hair salon, and the dad had played rugby because he went on a mission and, yeah, was on a rugby team. And so we were like, let's meet up with them. Like, let's see how these people are. And so we reached out, and we ended up meeting with them at just, like, an ice cream shop. And I just remember, it was very awkward. Remember that? I was feeling very nervous meeting them. Yeah, it felt more like I was trying to, like, sell them on why they should adopt my baby. It was, like, kind of weird in that way. And they were kind of telling me, oh, we want an open adoption, but we just want you guys to be there for, like, her birthdays and Christmas and, like, just special occasions. And we're like, okay. Because at this time, I had only known about closed adoption. Mm-hmm. I knew a little bit about open, but didn't know how open an open adoption could be.
So that sounded kind of open.
Yes. Sure. That was like, oh,
compared
that's
to
great.
Your mom's experience.
Yes. So I was like, that sounds great. But really on the inside, I did have like a want for more of an openness, like to be able to see her more often than that. But I didn't really express that just because I didn't know.
You just didn't know what the possibilities were, and
yeah, and I at that time I was just stressing out,
pressure too. Like,
a lot of overwhelm.
I've looked at hundreds of profile, and we only found this one people, and like, I hope they're the right ones, or like trying to make them the right ones rather than allowing yourself to like really choose because it feels
be
right.
Open to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing, is I was not focusing on the feelings that I had at that time. It was more so like, yeah, I just liked them and what they had on their paper and what I saw. And so after meeting with them, I remember we did tell them, we're like, we want you to adopt our baby. And they told us, you know, that's awesome, that's exciting, but before we give you guys an answer, we need to go pray about it in the temple. Like, we need to go to the temple, we need to go pray about it. And I was like, okay. And yeah, I remember them calling us and they told us, like, no, like, we got an answer and this isn't the baby for us.
Wow.
And we were like, what?
Wow.
Like, so taken back. I've never heard of that happening before.
Yeah, you hear of couples that just wait and wait and wait to find the baby.
Yes. And yeah, they had been waiting for a while too. Like, mm-hmm. is what we knew, is that they had been waiting for a while. So we were like, what the heck? But that actually made me, it made me kind of upset at the time. But then it made me kind of sit back and think about my religion and kind of how I wasn't going to church anymore mm-hmm. and how I'd kind of fallen away from that. And so this kind of opened up my eyes. I was like, okay, like, they got this answer and, you know, they're being kind of guided, where I'm over here, I have no clue what I'm doing, feeling super lost. I didn't know. And so, I decided, like, we decided to start going back to church. And so we did. And after we started going back to church, I stopped looking at the family services profiles. Like, that's just the feeling I had, was to stop looking. And I actually had my friend, my old friend, her name is Reagan from high school. Her brother had reached out to her because he knew that I was pregnant. And he told her, I know this couple. I served a mission with this guy. And they're looking to adopt a baby. Like, they just came out with it like a couple months ago. And I just wanted to pass that along and see if maybe Kiara was interested in talking to them. So she asked me, I was like, sure, like, give her my information. And so I got this text from this woman and she was just like, hey, like, how are you doing? Like, my name is Adrian. Like, I just wanted to see how your pregnancy's going, like, see how you're doing. And I just had a really strong feeling to text her back. So I did. I was like, you know, my pregnancy's going good. The baby's doing good. And she just asked, like, do you know, like, if you guys would be open to, like, meeting up with us sometime? And we were like, yeah. Like, we were still kind of iffy about it just from that last experience.
Yeah, tough experience before, sure.
Yeah. But we did. We ended up meeting with them. And just the feeling was so different. It was like mm-hmm. a feeling of familiarity, like I had known them. It was like comforting. Like, I didn't feel like I was nervous at all. Just sat down with them and had a really great conversation. They opened up with us saying that, you know, we've done a lot of adoption classes. We've talked to a lot of people who have adopted and who have open adoptions. And we have found that the more open we can be with this, the better it's going to be for all parties and the better it's going to be for the child.
For the baby.
And that to me was like, yes. Like, that's everything that I was kind of feeling and thinking. And I was like, the one, these are the ones. So we had my whole family come, the baby daddy's family come together. We had both sides meet them. And then both sides of our family were like, yeah, we love them. They're amazing.
Wow.
And so, yeah, we told them, like, hey, we'd love for you guys to adopt. And they were so excited. And I believe this was 2 months before I was going to have my baby that we told them that we wanted them to adopt. And within those 2 months, they had her room all set up. They had, like, clothes, like, everything that she would ever need. And yeah, it was just really cool because, you know, from my mom's side, she never got to meet the couple. But for me, it was really cool because I was able to go over to their house before and see where they lived, see where Quinley, you know, my baby was going to grow up. And I was able to go over. They had me over for dinners a lot just to, like, get to know each other better and become more familiar. So it was almost like they were adopting me into their family, too. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how it felt. Like, it was like, yeah, it's just this whole big family. I do feel like she's definitely somebody that I can go to for anything, just like a second mom to me. So same with Jason, too. He's like such an amazing guy. So, yeah, we feel super blessed to have had them reach out to us mm-hmm. and kind of how it all kind of worked itself out. But I definitely do think that